We're doing Netivot Shalom on the Parshat Ki Tisa, and the subject is what the Talmud tells us in Tractate Avodah Zarah. Israel sinned with the golden calf in order to teach the masses that masses can do tshuva as well. Amru Chazal, our sages taught, Lochatu Yisrael Leorot Tshuva L'Rabim. The only reason Israel sinned with the golden calf is to teach us that masses can do tshuva as well. Le'ol ze harei parshat ha'egel parshat ha'tshuva. So if that's the idea, as the Talmud tells us, then when we learn the story of the golden calf, what we're really learning is the story of how one does tshuva. She'esh l'inmod mimen enyanim yuchadim mitshuvatam shel Yisrael. There must be important areas of the story of the golden calf that teach us about how Israel did tshuva. The commentaries say on the verse, it says, Moshe saw the golden calf, he saw them dancing, and he threw the luchos from his hands and they smashed the tablets. That initially, when Hashem said to Moshe, descend, for your nation has destroyed. So Hashem tells him something's wrong. Hashem tells him they've destroyed. Adayin lo shabar taluchot. Nonetheless, he hasn't yet broken the tablets. The kolot shelo ra'otam smechim imegel, because so long as he didn't see them happy with the golden calf, lo haya davar kol kach hamur beinav. So he didn't view it with such severity. V'rakachar shera'atam cholot zaviv egel. But only after he saw the people dancing in circles around the golden calf, Shemot smechim bo, he saw they're happy with the sin. Az shavar taluchot. That's when he destroyed the luchos. Venimtza she'etzam chet ha'egel od lo haya kol kach hamur. So then what we see from here is that the sin of the golden calf was not so severe ki'im ha'mcholot she'samechu bo, but rather the severity of the sin was that they were happy sinning. They were happy with the golden calf. She'bishvil ze tzrich haya l'shaber taluchot. That was the cause for his breaking the luchos. Because of that, he saw a need to destroy the tablets.
There weren't that many of them doing it compared to the whole group.
But the group was silent. And it's not so clear how much of the group partook or sat around. He sees the nation is wild. Things aren't right. Notice they murdered Hur and everyone was silent. They set up a golden calf and everyone's silent. Where are they?
By the way, when did they start constructing the golden calf?
It's a good question. That's a good question. One verse seems to say that the night before, and the other verse seems to say the next morning. It's a good question.
How did they possibly build it that fast?
They had 6 hours.
They built it because they didn't think more. They counted off, right?
That's one understanding, yeah. We'll discuss it Bezrat Hashem on Wednesday in our Parsha class, exactly how it evolved. Ah, no. Wednesday we don't have a Parsha class.
Why?
You're right in your question, but I'm right that I won't be here. Wednesday is Ta'anit Esther, and Wednesday night is Purim outside Jerusalem. So Wednesday night is technically Purim for me, where I live.
So we don't have class.
But we should have class Wednesday night. So we're going to have to figure something out. You guys are right. You need class Wednesday night. For you guys, it's not yet Purim. For me, it's Purim.
Yeah, well, how are guys going to get our
We have to figure it out. That's a good point. You're right. So we'll get back to that. So again, what did we see so far? We saw that our sages taught that the sin of the golden calf was there to teach us the idea of tshuva of the masses. The Rebbe of Slonim said, so then there must be very important concepts of tshuva in the whole story of the golden calf. We could even call it the story of tshuva, the story of the golden calf, because that's what the Talmud says. That's what it's written there for. And if we look at the golden calf closely, we see that the severity of the sin was their happiness with the sin, was the fact that they're rejoicing around the calf. Because until Moshe saw that, he didn't see the need to destroy the tablets. So Moshe destroys the tablets when he sees them dancing. So you see that the severity of the sin was the dancing, was the happiness with the sin. והביאור בזה, an explanation of this says the נתיבות שלום, that הקדוש ברוך הוא ברוב חכמיו השאיר דרך תשובה. Hashem in his great mercy left open the path of tshuva, שאפילו לאחר שיהודי כבר נכשל והגיע למצב שפל וירוד ביותר, that even after a Jew has sinned and he's devolved, he's already down at the dregs, is way low, ברא לו הקדוש ברוך הוא תרופה מתוך החטא עצמו. Hashem created a cure from within the sin itself. את ייסורי המצפון שיש לו לאחר החטא. Every sin carries with it a certain feeling of guilt. And that feeling of guilt is really a gift that Hashem gave us. It's that opening to come back from within the sin itself. That the sin itself affords that opening to return. שליבו שבור בקרבו על חטאו. We all know that when we do something we shouldn't do, at the same time that we're trying to overcome that inner conscience that's saying, no, you shouldn't, deep down inside, there's that part of us that's even broken over what we're doing. And this concept exists in many different works. Rav Kook wrote about this in Orot HaTshuva, and the Rebbe of Chabad, and here we see it in the Rebbe of Slonim. This is a recurring theme, but it's a very important idea. I think the roots for this are in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. The Medrash discusses how one proceeds to sin and the different things that Hashem sends his way as a person does something wrong. But whatever, the idea appears in many places. And even though sometimes a person doesn't sense it, but deep down inside, his heart is broken. וזה בבחינת קוסטה דחיותה מתעוררת באדם מתוך החטא גופו המעורר בו ייסורי מצפון. There's this little essence of life that's in a person that arouses a person from within the sin itself, that arouses some conscience, some guilty feelings, שעל ידי זה יחזור לשורשו. And that's a way of bringing him back to his roots. וכמאמר הכתוב, and as the verse says, תייסרך רעתך. The Naveen Jeremiah and Yirmiyo, the Navi says, your sin, your evil doing should be your punishment. Shebitoch hachet v'apgam, because within the sin, within the blemish, tmuna hatrufa lamakah, there is really concealed the balm, the healing, the cure is really concealed within it itself, asher tiasrech ha'atech, because when we do something wrong, that in and of itself afflicts us. ולכן כאשר אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה, so when Hashem tells Moshe שישראל עשו עגל, that the Jewish people made a golden calf, Moshe is at the top of the mountain, Hashem tells him, get down, the Jews made a golden calf. עדיין לא היה בדעתו לשבור את הלוחות. At that point, he didn't think to break the luchos, כי היה סבור שוודאי עוד יש להם את הקוסטה דחיותה. He said, they still have that essence of life, they still have that spark, that guilt, something is still aroused within them. וליבם שבו בקרבם, והם בוכים ומצרים על כישלונם. Moshe said, I'm going to come down there, they're going to be confused, deep down inside, they must really regret it, they realize they've stumbled. רק אשר אתם חולות שהם שמחים בזה. But when he comes down, and he sees they didn't only build a golden calf, they're dancing around it. They're happy with the golden calf. נתייש אז לגמרי, שמה יכולו עוד לעזור להם. At that point, Moshe says, I give up. How can I help them? And then he throws the luchos. He said, what do they have to do with these? What do the Ten Commandments say? Thou shalt not have a God other than me. And what are they doing? They've severed themselves from the root. Because Hashem implanted within each person this little spark that keeps pounding at him and keeps calling him back. And they've tried to sever that. Eicha, heicha nata ba'olam. There's a spark within a Jew. That same calling that Hashem told Adam HaRishon, every person has within him. And that's the calling of Ayeko. Hashem tells Adam HaRishon, where are you? And every person has that calling within himself that says, where are you? You could be, you should be, and where are you? Every one of us has that drive, something within us that says, am I where I should be? And that calling is very important because that's what gets a person back. When there's nothing else, a person suddenly feels, I have to go searching. Ask many people who are here, and they'll tell you, something inside me said I have to search for more meaning in life. Hashem implanted that within us, but a person can overcome it. You go to a bar, you go dancing, you go and you get distractions, then you can say, I'm happy with life, leave me alone. So we really, we're in the middle of a thought. So you guys tell me, should we continue or stop here? Continue? What's the vote? Continue? Okay. ושבירת הלוחות נחשבת למעלתו הגדולה של משה רבנו. And it's a phenomenal thing. At the end of Moshe's life, when Hashem describes Moshe's greatness, which point does Hashem choose? His, at the very end of the Torah, it says, and all the great things Moshe did, and Moshe's powerful hands. And our sages say, what was the powerful hands? The powerful hands was that he had the power to break the luchos. That's the greatness of Moshe. If you want to describe, and the Torah builds up in its description, the final great point of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he broke the luchos. וכדברי חזל על הפסוק ולכל היד החזקה, as our sages taught on that last verse in the Torah that describes Moshe's powerful hand, אשר עשה משה לעיני כל ישראל, our sages say that last pasuk in Torah that says all the greatness Moshe did and his powerful hands opposite Israel, that's talking about his breaking of the luchos. Oh, that's what he's going to discuss. Because when Moshe saw that Israel has no fixing, because he comes down and he sees they're not broken, they're happy, they're whole. וצריך לשבור את הלבבות של כל 60 ריבו בני ישראל. He said, what do I have to do here? I have to break their hearts. ולכך לא הייתה דרך אלא על ידי שבירת הלוחות. So Moshe said, the only way I could do it is by breaking the tablets. שעל ידי זה יחדור להכרתם את אשר קרא אותם. In doing such an extreme act, he will enter their recognition. They will realize what happened here. Al yedei sheirut haluchot asher maaseh Elokim hema v'amichtav michtav Elokim nishpar le'enehem. When they see the tablets broken, then they'll understand. Then yishberu libotem shel kol Yisrael. Then their hearts will be broken. V'zeh yavram aderech letikun. And that's the way back. Now, I want to add to what he said in order to better understand this. I want to add two stories. And the second one is better than the first one. Okay? The first one appears in the Talmud. The Talmud tells us one of the rabbis, I'll get to you Yehuda in a minute. The first one appears in the Talmud. The Talmud tells us one of the rabbis was at a wedding. His son's wedding. They were all dancing and happy. And he said to himself, how could they be so happy? The world is not fixed. The temple is broken. God's connection with us is broken. Things are not the way they should be. So he had a piece of ancient glass. He had a cup of ancient glass from the days of the temple that they couldn't produce that glass. Ever since the destruction of the temple, they didn't know how to produce such fine glass. That was one of the wisdoms that were lost in the exile. It was called Zugita Chivrita, white glass. Special type of glass. That was one of their expertise before the temple's destruction. He took this glass in front of everyone and broke it. And everyone stopped. Shocked. He said, right. How could you guys have such rejoicing when we don't have a temple? So, based on that piece in Talmud, we have our custom that we break a glass under the chuppah. We remind ourselves, things aren't whole. Think for a minute. Let's go on to story number two. You have a community. And the community is a small community. They barely have a shul. And they don't have a sefer Torah. Every week they all make a long trek to the shul that's in the next town to hear the Torah reading. And these people are simple people. Each one puts together his few extra pennies each week. And slowly they put together the money to buy a sefer Torah. And you could imagine the rejoicing, the whole town, everyone knows they pinched pennies to get that Sefer Torah. You could imagine the joy. Every person, when they hugged that Sefer Torah during the dancing, that was their Sefer Torah. So, they're dancing with the Sefer Torah and they bring it, they've done it after 4 years of pinching pennies, they bring the Sefer Torah into the shul and the dancing, you couldn't imagine a happier scene. And now they tell themselves, now the challenge is to get a second Sefer Torah. So again, they pinch pennies and they can't believe it, they've made it this time in 3 years. They get a second Sefer Torah. And again, the dancing, each person waits for his turn to hug that Sefer Torah. And together they're standing in shul and look at what they built, look at what they accomplished. And it was a pitiful Shabbos afternoon, scorching hot sun, when suddenly they hear that on that hilltop where their shul lies, a fire broke out. And the whole town runs up to the shul and the building is engulfed in flames. And the rabbi says, you can't risk your lives and run in there. And you can't put out the fire. I know the Sifrei Torah are getting burnt. And I know that this is our cherished shul. But you can't desecrate Shabbos in order to do that. So they stand there around. And there's a halacha that you could fill buckets with water. And when the fire reaches them, the buckets burst. And then the water spills out. And everyone's running and toiling and trying to set up these buckets on Shabbos because this way they didn't put out the fire. And they see that their acts are pretty much futile. This isn't going to succeed. And suddenly, out of nowhere, in walks Yankel the Klutz. Yankel the Klutz comes out of the shul with the two Sifrei Torah in his hands. And everyone looks at him and says, Yankel, how'd you do it? The building was engulfed in flames. How'd you do it? Yankel says, what's the big deal? I went behind the shul. I turned on the hose, sprayed down the back of the shul, finished spraying down the back of the shul, went in through the door, took out the Sifrei Torah, and came back out. So the Rav looks at him and says, you put out the fire on Shabbos to get the Sifrei Torah? You, beforehand, we thought the Sifrei Torah would be burnt. But now, the Sifrei Torah really are burnt. Because the Torah is not about the scroll, the Torah is about our way of life. And if you desecrated the way of life, so then what's the value of the scroll? How? That's the story. Story number two. Sometimes, we have to appreciate that when you break one thing, you're building something else. When a whole kehillah stands around and sees the toil of their hands going up in smoke, and no one moves forward to touch the fire. Because what do those scrolls say? I can't touch that fire. So as devastating as it is to think that the Torah is going up in flames, but I know that this is what the Torah is all about. The Torah is all about me being what I should be. It's not about the book. The book is there to teach me something, but I have to be that something. Sometimes we get very carried away with the value of the book. But the book's about my life. Now let's get back to the Luchos. What are the Luchos worth if Am Yisrael is a nation of sinners? A nation that could dance around the golden calf? Moshe Rabbeinu sizes up the moment and sees, how are we going to get out of this? The people here, they're happy with the golden calf. So what are the commandments worth? So I have tablets that were handmade by God. Great. Well, what's it worth? I don't have a people to give it to. And I have no way to bring the people back. So Moshe does the greatest act of his life. We can't imagine how hard it was for Moshe to break those luchos. If we appreciate it, he appreciated it even more. He spent 40 days like an angel getting those luchos. And now he himself takes it and breaks it. And sometimes the greatness of a person is measured in their capacity to see beyond the moment. To see the value that goes in breaking what he thinks he's just been trying to build. Moshe sees there's no way to bring the people back without breaking the luchos. So that's what he does. We'll continue in 1 second. Yehuda, I'm with you.
Shock them and break the loophole in front of them. So, could that be the reason why he didn't break the first
Oh, that could also be.
He's already on the ground when he broke them?
I don't know if he was on the ground. The Medrash seems like he was at the foot of the mountain. Not yet on the ground, but not far from them, where they could all see him. There's a Medrash that there was a fight between him and the elders. They saw that he was going to throw it down, and the elders came and grabbed it and said, "Don't!" And he had 70 men trying to hold up the luchos, and he overcame all of them and said, "Yes, I do," and threw them down.
See, I heard an interpretation that the luchos were extremely heavy, so he had Hashem's help carrying them.
Correct.
And then when he saw the act, Hashem himself was so, he couldn't believe it, that Hashem basically let go of the help.
There is, yes, there's a medrash like that too. Back to the Netivot Shalom. Ve'im legabei sota ne'emar, and if Hashem tells us with regard to the sota, the woman where there's a doubt whether she was faithful to her husband, the Torah says, Yimachesh mi al ha'mayim, God says, erase my name over the waters, kidei latid shalom ben ish le'ishto, so there will be peace between a man and his wife. You guys know the story, yes? Okay. Harei kol sheken lasot shalom ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'Yisrael. So certainly to make peace between Hashem and Israel, that's fitting. Ufula zo hi asher hatzila et klal Yisrael. So this act is what really saved the people of Israel. V'alei ne'emar, so that's why about this act it says, ulechol hayad hachazaka, Moshe's powerful hand, shenisa libo lishbor ot haluchot le'einehem shel Yisrael, v'avur tikun klal Yisrael, that he was willing to break them for the sake of fixing Am Yisrael. Shirak Moshe begadluto haya yechol la'asot zot. Only Moshe. Only someone of such a high level could do that. Okay, I guess we have to move forward a drop more. And this is, he says, like the Nachmanides writes, it says that when Moshe said to them that Hashem was upset at them and that they should remove their ornaments, so they all mourned. And they didn't wear those own ornaments. They were like in mourning. So Hashem, says the Ramban, is filled with mercy. And when he saw them mourning over their sin, he said to Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael, tell my children Israel, until that moment, until the nation was mourning, the nation is repeatedly called your nation, Moshe, the nation, not my nation. It's only then, after you see that Am Yisrael mourned over their sin, that they're called Bnei Yisrael. So the Ramban says that's what Hashem was saying. Now they're back. And Hashem told Moshe, now go teach them. This is the way to do tshuva. To say I'm sorry. To feel bad about the past. And in the future, when they see that I'm upset at something they've done, so then they have to do like they did now. Because I'm interested in seeing what a person really feels. That's the Ramban. And I think we'll conclude with this paragraph. And this is what the Talmud tells us in Tractate Avodah Zarah, that Israel really wasn't fit for that sin. Ela lorot tshuva l'rabim. That they were coming to teach us how the masses should do tshuva. Shezui derech ha-tshuva shel Yehudi yesh tamid eitza. A Jew has to know. What's the path to tshuva? Very often I get this question. People say, I've been doing this my whole life. Is there any way back? And I don't know the way back. And I don't think I can do it. And I don't think I can hack it. And as much as I try, I'm not getting where I want to be. He tells us, what's really the path that we learn from the story of the Egel? The one cardinal piece of advice that's always available, Shivron Halev, when a person allows his heart to be broken. We said deep down inside it already is. The question is, am I really ready to recognize it? Am I ready to connect to it? V'akadosh Baruch Hu ha-bochen lev Yehudi mechaper lefi Shivron Halev. And Hashem, who knows what's going on in our heart, He gives us atonement in exact correlation with how broken our heart is. V'zeu ma'amar ha-katuv, and that's what the verse says in Jeremiah, Hineni nishpat otach al omrech lo chatati. Hashem says, I'm going to judge you because you said, I didn't sin. De'be'etzem ha-chet yesh chelek shu ke'anus shelo haya biyado ma la'asot. Because when it comes to the sin, we have answers. I was overtaken. I wasn't focused. I had a moment of weakness. Okay, there are answers. But there are no answers for why I'm not doing better now. Meaning, then. That was the answer for then, but what about now? Uchmod amrinan, and like we say, galui v'yadua lefanecha sheyetzara megare otanu. The Talmud says, we say for Hashem, you know our inclinations keep at us. But Hashem says, what am I judging you for? I'm judging you because you said, I didn't sin. And that's what we see in the Egel. The main problem with the Egel was that they were ready to dance with the Egel. The fact that they sinned, yes, people sin. But the fact that they were willing to go at it with dancing. The verse says, Hashem doesn't turn back, doesn't scorn a broken heart. Who is King David talking about when he says you won't scorn? He's talking about someone who's fit for scorn, who Hashem ordinarily would scorn. But if his heart is broken, then he says, I know you won't. Because his heart is broken, Hashem doesn't scorn him. So that's the message of tshuva that the masses learn from the Egel. Even after the sin and the dancing, once they were ready to recognize their sin and they mourned their sin, Hashem accepted them back. And Hashem again calls them my children Israel. Sure. That we'll discuss in the Parsha class. Because Hashem knows what's going on in our hearts. And here he's alluding to another point which he says in other parts of the book, that there's another key point that can bring a person back. And that is, he says, as dark as everything seems, as far down as a person thinks he is, he should always remember there's that spark that Hashem is with him in that darkness. It's not only that Hashem is there and looking at his broken heart and that the broken heart is part of the key to getting back. It's also that he should remember Hashem is down there with him. Shal yedei zeh mitkayem bo mizbech evne b'shivron libi. Through this we fulfill what it says, I build an altar before you, Hashem, and that altar is my broken heart. As the Rebbe of Kotsk said, there's nothing more whole than a broken heart. Okay, but obviously we always say that's on the way to making it a whole heart. Don't stay with the broken heart, right? Gotta move forward from that.